At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
Pat family, it's time for a true look at your world. Let's get hooked up for Pack Therapy. Here's your hosts, Tim Donnelly and Graham Hill.
Welcome into a live edition of Pack Therapy. I'm Graham Hill. That is not Tim Donnelly. Tim Donnelly actually has birthday festivities that he's attending to this afternoon. So joining me is our good friend of the program, Corey Smith, editor of Pack Pride. Corey, as you can see, is at... What's the arena again? I always forget. American Airlines Center.
Yep.
Airlines Center in Dallas. He is at the Sweet 16, and he is now getting ready for his coverage of the NC State Wolfpack as they advance to the Elite Eight and will play Duke tomorrow. So, Corey, I guess we can go ahead and start right there. When you were in Pittsburgh for the round of 64 and round of 32, you gave us a tour of the Pittsburgh Pirates Stadium. I'm guessing you couldn't get access to Jerry World, but just as nice that you're in the arena as you get ready for NC State's availability this afternoon. Let's just start there. Let's start with the vibes in Dallas right now. Of course, Wolfpack Nation traveling well down there for the Sweet 16, now the Elite Eight. In the moments that you've gotten to speak with fans that are there, just what's sort of the vibe around Wolfpack Nation right now? It's NC State is now Elite Eight bound.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. You think about where this team was, you know, 3 weeks ago at this point. I mean, that was, you know, the day that they ended up winning the ACC championship game. You fast forward, or 2 weeks ago, actually, now at this point. Am I right? Or am I just losing track of time?
I'm losing track of time as well.
2 weeks ago was the ACC championship win. 3 weeks ago, they would have been losing to Pittsburgh in the season finale. That was the last loss for this NC State team. I mean, you know, talking to NC State fans, seeing the fans in the crowd last night, it's been electric. You know, every single fan that's here is, like, hopeful. And, you know, I think there's – obviously, there's always been a belief, you know, each and every game. It's like, okay, all right, we can win this game. We can beat Oakland. We can, you know, they could beat Texas Tech in the first one. And then it was like Marquette was kind of like, oh, man, that's a really good team, a really good offense. And, you know, it has a really good point guard. And they held Tyler Kolek to 3 assists and 2 turnovers in that game. He had 17 points in that one, but wasn't nearly the type of offensive output or the floor general way of running things that we've seen from him. And, you know, I think there's now even more, that much more of a belief from fans of like, all right, if you can get past that team, if you can knock off Texas Tech and you can beat that team and you can, you know, knock off the mighty Oakland that was like, yeah. I mean, just beat Kentucky. Yeah, yes, you got some bracket luck there, but still a very good team, one that pushed NC State to overtime. It's like, all right, man, this team might really have the juice to do this thing.
NC State 67-58 win over Marquette last night. NC State in that win continued its string of poised and confident play in the first half, shooting 54% and building a 37-24 halftime lead. And, you know, I didn't want to jinx it, but it kind of felt like the vibes at halftime was, well, like, of course, NC State showed up to play, but it kind of felt like they had the chance to run away with it. What was sort of your assessment when NC State had that 13-point halftime lead against Marquette last night?
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about it was they just kept answering every single thing that Marquette threw at them. I mean, you know, even in the first half, it was like Marquette was able to generate some momentum and get some stops and things like that. And NC State was able to, you know, have some kind of momentum breakers for on their side and break those rallies that Marquette was trying to put together. I mean, the vibe, you know, obviously was the fact that, all right, if they can just hold on here in the second half, which is what they've been able to do during this run. That's been the insane thing about it. I told somebody last night, you know, in the locker room afterwards, was like, watching Marquette in that late game situation was like watching NC State in the regular season in reverse, because That's what NC State did a lot. They got down, they had to fight back. And, you know, in some games they were able to cut it to 2 points, they were able to push it to, you know, overtime, or able to get back to a tie or take a quick lead, but then, you know, would lose that momentum. NC State has been the team that's been the better team. They've been the dominant team in most of these games, with the exception of, you know, Oakland being able to claw back and get it to overtime. But then DJ Burns takes over. You know, you think back to the UVA game. Yes, you needed a Michael O'Connell three-pointer that was just an absolute prayer to get you to even in overtime. And then DJ Burns takes over. It's, you know, this team has been at times one of the most dominant teams in the country outside of maybe a UConn. But that's, you know, that's kind of what they're looking like right now. And I think, you know, that you go into that second half going, all right, it's, as long as they're the same second half team that we've seen throughout this postseason run, they're going to be good enough to win this thing.
I'm certainly not trying to take away of the great shooting performance that NC State had in the game last night. But when you look at the final stat sheet, the Eagles ended up hitting just 4 of 31 shots from 3-point range. It was only the fourth time all season the Eagles didn't score 60 points. How much of it was NC State, again, great offensive play, but again, with the Eagles struggle, just how much of it was sort of a checks and balance system in the win last night?
Yeah, you know, I think early on, NC State got some luck. You look back at the beginning of that game, if you watch the full game and not like a, you know, condensed version or just the highlights, there was a lot of open looks that Marquette got, and they just did not get to fall. And, you know, NC State was able to kind of capitalize on the momentum, and I think that's what led to a big lead as opposed to, you know, just staying tight with them. So the fact that they were able to kind of feast off of that offensively was huge. But, you know, I talked to DJ Burns last night, and one of the big things that he said, he's like, you know, yeah, the Tyler Kolek thing is one thing. I get it. You know, you can say, hey, he should have had 4 more assists if guys hit open looks. But the reason why he struggled so much last night was because of Casey Morsell. He highlighted Casey immediately and said, look, you know, the defense that him and Jaden Taylor have played on guys has been phenomenal. But, you know, you look at Casey Morsell and you look at the matchups that he's had over these last few games. I mean, you go back to Jack Golick in the previous game. You go back to Tyler Kolek last night. Like, those are two completely different players. Yes, they're phenomenal offensive players, but one is a great distributor who had 22 assists in the first two games and had 3 last night. And then you go back and look at what, you know, he was able to do against Golick. And I mean, Golick, obviously, you know, 32 points against Kentucky, and yes, he got his, but they were far from easy looks, and they were far from, you know, easy opportunities for him. So I just think, you know, we're kind of all bypassing what Casey Morsell is doing defensively. And, you know, for him to get his shot last night was huge too, where he's finally able to hit some of those turnaround step backs and the things that he's been able to do during the regular season that haven't been falling for him in the postseason. So yeah, the defense, again, to go back to what you were saying, defense has been great, but again, you know, some of it was a little bit of luck where Marquette just didn't have its shots falling too. And you get that sometimes.
I'm glad you brought up Casey Morsell, because I have been very impressed with how well he's done defensively as a player, both in the ACC tournament and this NCAA tournament so far. Obviously, when you think about the regular season, he did not have his best shooting performance as he did last year. But is it sort of fair to say that maybe in this postseason, Casey Morsell, and you mentioned that last night he did get some critical shots at times, but is it fair to say that Casey Morsell understands his assignment and his role in this team's success is on the defensive side of the ball? Like, he's the defensive player on this team?
Yeah, and I think that goes to, you know, I will say this first of all. Yes, I completely agree. I think Casey Morsell, with what he's been able to do defensively, has been, you know, similar to Muhammad Diarra rebounding the ball, similar to Ben Middlebrooks being physical on the defensive end, drawing some fouls, similar to, you know, DJ Horn and DJ Burns knowing they have to be the offensive guys. Casey Morsell knows, hey, I've got to be the defensive guy. If my shot's falling, I'll take shots. Guys will get the ball to me. We'll get open looks, and he'll get some of them to drop in. It's not always been like that for him, obviously, throughout this postseason run, but him more than anybody kind of, you know, or Morsell more than anybody kind of comes to the realization of like, all right, it isn't my night. I'm going to do what I can for this team and help them win. And whether it's, you know, getting the ball to other guys, or whether it's trying to get rebounds, or whether it's, you know, being that defensive cog that they need, he's able to do that. And I think that just kind of reverberates through this entire team so far. I mean, we've talked so much about the fact that, you know, this team, the way that they've been able to make this run is so different from, you know, the Kemba Walker UConn team that made that long run, because we all remember it was the Kemba Walker run. Everybody's going to say, oh yeah, this is the DJ Burns run. But, you know, DJ Burns isn't the leading scorer every single night. Yes, he's had some great assists. You know, last night he had 7 assists, but like, DJ Burns hasn't been the only reason why this team has gone on this run. There are so many guys that contribute up and down this roster. You know, I wrote a story about Muhammad Diarra this morning and what he's been doing. I mean, 8, you know, woke up at 5:15 yesterday morning to get an IV of fluids for the third straight morning because they were preparing for it for 48 hours prior to that. You know, you've got him, you know, fighting through Ramadan and has, you know, 7 straight games now with double figure rebounds. He has 4 straight games with, you know, double doubles. Like, all of these guys are just buying into these roles and have just made this team complete. And that's something that they did not have throughout the regular season.
Let's talk about Mo Dior real quickly. Mm-hmm. 11 points last night, 15 rebounds for the Wolfpack. I kind of want to discuss outside his basketball play, which he's been really good in this postseason, both as a scorer and as a rebounder. But in your interactions that you've had with him, can you kind of just share with the viewers right now what the experience has been like for him practicing Ramadan during this time? You kind of mentioned what his daily schedule looks like, but can you kind of pull the curtain back a little bit more and provide some in-depth details on what his day-to-day looks like while practicing Ramadan?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, 5:15 each morning he's getting up and having the IVs, and he'll have to do it again tomorrow because the game tips off 4:10 Central Time. He will not be able to eat or drink throughout the game at all. You saw him absolutely gassed at the end of the game last night too, like the, you know, having to head to the bench with 29 seconds left, and it looked like he could hardly walk at that point. But, you know, day to day he's going through that IVs, and then they're doing a ton of, you know, food intake and things like that right beforehand. Getting him prepared for the full day because, he's, you know, they're going to limit what he does throughout the day from an energy standpoint to try to save all of it. And then you get to tip off. And like I said, I mean, sundown wasn't even until 7:46 last night here Central Time. It tipped off at 7:10 Eastern Time. It was 6:10 Central Time. So he wasn't able to eat until, you know, basically like 4 minutes left in this game. I mean, after the I think it was the final media timeout, he headed to the bench and finally got some fluids. And he looked completely gassed. But, you know, talking to him in the locker room, the thing that I think is incredible about him is, you know, he said, like, I don't need this to be a big story. Like, I think it's really cool that it's become something. He's been able to kind of shine a light on it. But, you know, he said last night in the locker room, like, look, man, you know, this isn't my team's decision. This was my personal decision. Like, I have to get through this for my team. I can't just say, oh, well, you know, I'm going through Ramadan. My energy level is not going to be high enough to be able to play in this game the way that I should. No, we're in March Madness. Like, I've got to be there for my team. I've got to step up for them. And you see it. Like, I talked to, you know, if you go back and look at the interviews we did from last night, DJ Burns talked about, he's like, you know, he's just so selfless. And what he's doing for this team has just been so close. Clutch. And then Ben Middlebrooks, like, saying, you know, it's simply miraculous what he's doing, and to watch what he's doing is just so inspiring to the rest of us. And I think, again, you know, as much as I've said, everybody's buying into their roles, like, everybody's seeing what everybody else is doing throughout this run, and they're going, all right, well, I got to give, you know, extra 10% for that guy. I got to give an extra 10% for this guy. And nobody's slacking off. And I think, you know, nobody symbolizes that more than what Mohamed Diarra has been able to do through Ramadan and through these, you know, grueling March games where you simply can't lose or you're out. And that's gone all the way back to D.C. Over 2 weeks ago.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
It certainly has been incredible following Mohamed Diarra during this NCAA tournament, just both as a basketball player and practicing his faith with Ramadan. Great insight from Corey Smith, head editor of Pack Pride at Corey Smith, filling in for Tim Donnelly this afternoon on Pat Therapy. Let's talk about DJ Horn. Led NC State in scoring 19 points, going 4-7 from three-point range. Casey Moore still added 15 points. Was it kind of nice for I'm sure it was nice for DJ Burns sort of to have the workload taken off him last night and sort of see DJ Horn get back to his style of play. Did it feel like vintage DJ last night from what we've been used to seeing in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, the first question we asked him, he was like, it was just nice to be able to see some shots fall. And, you know, about a little after halftime, he got super confident. I'm actually working on a story right now, planning on getting some quotes from him about this. But, you know, one of the stories I'm writing right now on DJ Horn is like that moment after he hit that three, he runs over to the other side of the court. And this was right after Marquette gets it back within 10 points. He hits that three-pointer, and it was with the, you know, with like 0.9 seconds, the ball leaves his hand on the shot clock, and he hits a three to make it a 13-point lead. This was right after the Marquette fans got super into it. He runs out on the other side of the court, and you just see him go, mwah, and blow that kiss to him. And I think that was a moment where you kind of felt like, all right, you know, yes, DJ Horn is back. Not to say that he ever left, but, you know, the confidence has been there in other ways for him. You know, defensively, he's hit some shots offensively, but like that three-pointer finally falling for him and seeing him, you know, cross up some guys, seeing him, you know, get those handles back, like I think, you know, getting that rest of an actual week off has probably helped DJ Horn more than anybody. Because, I mean, you circle all the way back to, you know, the beginning of the ACC tournament. I think everybody forgets, like, he missed that entire first game due to injury. He's obviously been, you know, gotten back to form. But, like, there's still some wear and tear on that body that he was able to kind of work through over the last week. So getting a much better DJ Horn back, hopefully we see the same form that he had against Duke the last time around, because that was pretty special, along with what a guy named Muhammad Diarra was able to do last time, 14 points and 16 rebounds against Duke too.
Let's move on to Duke. NC State defeated Duke 74-69 in the ACC tournament quarterfinal on March 14th as part of the run to win the tournament as a 10 seed and reach where we're at right now, Elite Eight bound. Corey, I'm curious about this. For NC State fans, do you think they would have much rather faced Houston, or do you think that there's sort of, you know, we'll take Duke just because we have familiarity with them splitting with the Blue Devils, both in the ACC, in the regular season at PNC and in the ACC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't have Jamal Shedd, you'd have loved to have faced Houston. It completely changed the complexion of the game. But yeah, I think, you know, yes, for the symbolism of it, for the, you know, it feels like 83 or feels like what, you know, whatever you want to say. Yes, it would have been great to knock off Houston, but man, you know, I don't think NC State or NC State fans really cared who they face, because you get a chance to play one more game to get to the first Final Four since 1983. The fact that you're playing against Duke, a team that you're familiar with, a team that, you know, quite frankly, beat you pretty soundly at home, you know, on senior night, a team that, you know, you go into this matchup having a little bit more confidence. You know, it's interesting because I feel like the way that this game is being looked at from both sides is flipped compared to what it was a couple weeks ago, because NC State approached that game as, all right, this is our get back game. We got, you know, punked on senior night. We've got to go out there. We've got to finish this one off and get to the semifinals. And then for Duke, this is now, I mean, you know, one of our photographers, Spencer, by the way, who says hello to you, Spencer Thomas. He said he was right outside the locker room for Duke last night, just happened to be walking by, and all their guys are walking back going, all right, this is our get back game. This is our get back game. It's just that, you know, change between the two programs now where, you know, hey, maybe, and no, not to say that NC State isn't inspired, but maybe Duke is a little more inspired to say, all right, we got punked last time, you know, in the ACC tournament, and, you know, lost two straight at that point. And this team, you know, I just feel like both these teams have a lot to prove going into this one. And, you know, the fact that the line is 5.5 points for NC State, or, you know, for Duke, only, you know, ratchets up that, you know, the doubt and the why not us from NC State that we've seen all postseason long.
I think you're exactly right in some aspects. There's definitely – not to take anything away from this incredible run that NC State is on right now, but there might be more extra motivation for Duke heading to this game just because they want to get the bad taste out of their mouth of what happened in the ACC tournament after they pretty much took the equivalent of a school field trip, just showing up to D.C. the night before and then turning right around and leaving. So I think there is some extra motivation for Duke, but I think for NC State, again, what's been impressing me is that they're just going out there. They don't care who they're playing. Just the confidence and the clean style of basketball that they're playing has been what stands out to me. I feel like a lot of this has been NC State simply is going out there with a mindset of, we're not going to lose this game by hurting ourselves. They're pretending the basketball well. They're not getting unnecessary fouls. And they're just playing really clean basketball. Is that part of this run? Is that part of the game plan that needs to be going into this game tomorrow? Yeah, going to this game tomorrow night against Duke?
Yeah, and that's what's going to be critical in this one, too, because, you know, you look back at the game last night here in where are we at? Dallas? Yeah. You look back at that game somewhere. Last night. Yeah, exactly. And Marquette going into that game, you know, led the entire country in turnover margin. They were a team that likes to turn you over, likes to be able to get in the open court. That's where Tyler Kolek gets, you know, half of his assists sometimes. You're able to get those steals. They dish it out to him. He finds the open man. They get an easy shot. NC State refused to do that. They gave up 14 turnovers. But only 11 points off of those turnovers last night. So even though they got, you know, situations to go up the court, State limited what Marquette was able to do. That's exactly the change between the last two games for NC State and Duke that I noticed that was the most obvious. You know, obviously NC State was able to rebound the ball better in that second game and, you know, was, you know, kept it closer in that game. But you go back to that last one, the first time around, there was so many momentum-changing turnovers that Duke was able to generate, so many momentum-changing shots that they were to hit. Jared McCain hitting a three-pointer in transition. You think back to, you know, a couple of different guys stepping up in that game. You know, Kyle Filipowski had a good game in that first one, had a much better game in the second one, but, you know, the fact that he had the foul trouble obviously helped NC State. But, you know, the fact that NC State was able to limit the turnovers in that second game, the fact that you were seeing, you know, them be able to, you know, keep Duke out of transition, keep Duke from showing off that athleticism and getting back down the court to defend them was something that was absolutely key in that second game. And I think it's going to be completely necessary in the second time, this third time around, because it's something that NC State has been able to do so well throughout this postseason run.
Two more questions for Corey Smith as he gets ready for NC State's press availability at American Airlines Center in Dallas. Editor of Pack Pride at Corey Smith on X. My first question is this. Going back to that first game at PNC Arena and even some in the ACC tournament game, it seemed like NC State just did a good job of not allowing Duke to get inside. It seemed like it was a situation of, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us by shooting the three really well. And at one point in that first meeting, Duke was struggling. Now, once Jared McCain got hot in the second half, and you also had Sean Stewart coming off the bench, which will be another factor to look for, that's when Duke was able to swing the momentum in their favor. What's the scout report for Kevin Keats going to this game tomorrow night as you get ready to face the Blue Devils for a third time in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, I hate to say it's as simple as do what you did the second game, but it just felt like in that second game they kind of said, all right, well, you know, we're going to let them try to feed it in through Kyle Filipowski, but we're not going to let it, you know, get and let them get the ball back out. We're going to trade. We'll be willing to trade twos for twos. But that was, you know, the strategy for Duke the first time around was, all right, we're not going to double DJ Burns. We're going to let him score at will. He scored at will, but we're not going to allow those outlet passes for NC State to hit threes. The biggest thing that NC State has to do in this one is not just limit what, you know, what Duke is doing, but they have to hit some outside shots. That's something they did so well in the last time these two teams met up. Like, you go back to that first meeting, NC State shot eight threes. Duke made eight threes in that first game. Like, that was the difference in that game to me, was the fact that Duke just said, we are not, John Shire just said, we are not going to allow you to get those outlet passes, because he knew when you get those outlet passes, it's going to be to, you know, open 3-point shooters if we're doubling you, or we're not sending any kind of, you know, any kind of help in terms of like trying to tip some of those passes. That's what ended up leading to NC State being able to get, you know, limiting what NC State did from outside. But in the second game, they hit some of those outside shots. It forced them to say, all right, you know, we've got to go a little more zone. We've got to try to block off some of these passing lanes, and DJ Burns was able to eat inside. So there's just so many factors that go into this one. But the big thing to me is NC State being able to hit some of the open shots, being able to hit some of those open looks like they did against Marquette, like they did against Oakland, and be able to open up this offense again on that side of the floor.
Final question for Corey Smith, whose time I've taken up way too much, is he's at the American Airlines Center getting ready for NC State's media availability this afternoon ahead of their game against Duke tomorrow. This is more just a perspective question for everybody that's tuning in to this live edition of Pat Therapy. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. We'll have the audio version up in about an hour and a half or so. Tomorrow will mark NC State's first Elite Eight appearance since 1986. If the Wolfpack win, they'll reach the Final Four for the first time since 1983. Duke last played in the Final Four in 2022, losing against rival North Carolina. But just the fact that it's two triangle teams and two ACC teams after the whole narrative this season was that the ACC's down, just how special of a moment should this be, not just for NC State fans, but Duke fans as well, and maybe just the whole state of North Carolina as a whole. This kind of feels like the old school Tobacco Road rivalry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, it's funny because there was actually, you know, some Duke fans in attendance last night before that game that were cheering on NC State to beat Marquette. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing that you saw back in the ACC tournament. Some Duke fans started showing up and they're like, hey, let's root these guys on. And then some UNC fans rooted on NC State against Duke. So it just, you know, it feels like, first of all, for NC State, it feels like this is, you know, they've kind of become America's team. This is the last remaining double-digit seed. But it's also shown the strength of the ACC, too, that, like, hey, this team can not only, you know, make a run through the ACC and get to this point, but they're making a run through the NCAA tournament because even though they were not one of the best teams in the ACC in the regular season, they're one of the more complete teams in the entire country. They just so happened to figure it out. I will say this. Jim Phillips was here last night. I'm sure he'll be here tomorrow as well. We'll see if he may go out to Portland because you'll have NC State and Duke playing on separate sides of the bracket over there in the women's game. So shout out to both of them for making it two of the only teams in the country along with UConn to get both teams in the Sweet 16, in the Elite Eight. But, you know, he was kind of able to walk around and puff his chest a little bit last night and go, all right, you know, you had Dan Wolken walking up to him and like, what should I write now? You know, because, you know, he kind of has the upper hand now. Like, hey, you talk crap about our conference, you and everybody else nationally that wanted to spit on the ACC. But you're guaranteed at least one ACC team in the Final Four after only getting five in total and four in the real tournament, you know, with Virginia bowing out. But, this is, you know, an opportunity for, you know, the not only the ACC to be on that national stage, but also, you know, the triangle sans, you know, UNC not being there. But at the same time, you've got two teams from the triangle that are battling for a spot in the Final Four. And again, it just goes back to, you know, not just Tobacco Road, but the triangle in general and what this, you know, this entire area of the country has been all about in basketball. It's just been great to see, you know, everybody be able to kind of get behind what NC State's doing and, you know, and obviously certain pockets getting behind what Duke's doing too.
Quick side question. I noticed Jim Phillips was wearing a red and white striped tie during the NC State game. Did he change out of it for a blue and white striped tie during the Duke game? Or was the navy blue sports coat for the Duke game last night for Phillips?
I do believe he had a blue tie. I think it was like a blue and like little white dots tie down it. So like little itty bitty, not like a more of like a gingham tie than like, you know, polka dots or something like that. But yeah. Mean, I'm pretty sure he switched out. So yeah, he's come prepared. I'll be interested to see what he wears tomorrow night. Or like I said, maybe he just goes to Portland so he can be like, hey, let's that way I can watch two separate games and not have to worry about, you know, appeasing one side or the other. It'd be interesting to see if he wears like a, you know, a royal blue jacket and a red tie or, you know, or vice versa. Not that those colors go together, but, you know, maybe like the moms and dads showing up with the two separate side jerseys. Maybe that's what we'll see from Jim Phillips tomorrow night.
Yeah, but when you have two teams of your conference representing in the Elite Eight, you can wear whatever you want and get away with it, especially when you're the commissioner of the ACC. Corey Smith, editor of Pack Pride, 247 Sports. You can follow him on X at @RCoreySmith. As I mentioned, I'm in Kinston. As you can see, he's at the American Airlines Center getting ready to go into the NC State locker room for press availability. I'm sure he'll have a great preview of the game tomorrow, as he does as always. And thank you for joining us on this live edition of Pack Therapy. If you miss any of this conversation, you can go back back and watch on YouTube. Again, we'll have the audio version up shortly. But Corey, appreciate your time. Be sure to tell DJ Burns, DJ Horn, Casey Morcell, Mo Diarra, Kevin Keats, we said hello. Best of luck. And maybe we'll be talking to you next week from Phoenix.
Yes, sir. We'll see. All right, man. You have a good one, Graham.
You as well. Thank you guys for tuning in to this live edition once again of Pat Therapy. Take care.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.